Welcome along to The Short Ball, one of the Rugby Pod podcasts here, based in Auckland, New Zealand. It's Scotty Stevenson alongside Mills Mulioina, who may have played a couple of tests for the All Blacks. Afternoon, Millsy.
G'day, Sumo.
25th of July, and it's semi-final week, Mills. What did we see on the weekend? What was the big talking point for you out of the quarterfinals? The Crusaders getting the win, the Lions getting the win just. The Hurricanes taking a while to get the win, and the Chiefs managing to hold on the ball just a bit more than they lost the ball to beat the Stormers.
Well, it's a typical finals football, isn't it? There ain't going to be too many blowouts. You know, I know the Hurricanes sort of extended their sort of lead in the end, but terrible conditions down in Christchurch, but the better team actually played to those conditions.
When did we become such pussies? Because everyone is talking about the fact that it rained in a rugby game, as if the game should have been called out. I know it rained a lot. I know there may have been some flooding
called
issues.
Called off? Cool. What?
But people have been saying it should have been called off. Game should never have gone ahead. They should have moved it to under the roof at Forsyth Bar Stadium. What has gone on with people? Have we just become the softest bunch of people in the world? It's a footy game.
Well, it is. But when you look at it, if you look at that game and the weather conditions and how terrible it was compared to Johannesburg, I mean, just watching that sun.
It hasn't rained in Johannesburg since 1972. That is a terrible comparison.
Yeah, it is a terrible comparison. But
When have you ever played in Johannesburg in the rain?
No, I don't think I ever have. But I was more interested in watching that game because it looked, free running.
I'm with you.
But you're right. That's what happens when you, I suppose, build a stadium with a roof on it. Now everyone wants one.
Everyone does want one. But here's the other point. You know, the Highlanders only play half their games under the roof. They've got to play outside for the rest of them. Come on. They can't be that opposed to playing in wind and rain. They've played in the rain this year. They've beaten teams in the rain.
Yep.
Is it the amount of rain we're worried about?
Well, that's possibly what everyone's going on about, but I suspect that the Highlanders would have trained in worse conditions than that, you know, during the whole year. So, I mean, I think you're right, Sue. We are getting a little bit. I mean, rugby is just full of mud, isn't it?
Soft. We're getting soft.
You look back at the good old days, you're sliding through the mud when you're at bloody club rugby.
That's it. We're going to talk about the semi-finals coming up today on The Short Ball. Also cover a bit more of what we learnt from the quarterfinals. But we have a special guest today, Melzy.
Special.
A very special guest. In fact, he's a special man. I like to call him Marty fucking Banks because that's technically his name. I don't know if that's his official middle name, but it should be. And, of course, he's bowed out now with the Highlanders, quarterfinal stage. But we've got him on the line now, and before he gets to Italy, and he's still making sense, we thought we'd better talk to him. Hello, Martin.
Going on?
Well, you're live on the podcast, Marty Banks, and what a great pleasure to have you with us. Mate, how's the last couple of days been? Because I'm sure you're probably still steamed.
Oh, it's been a rough couple of days.
Where are you currently, mate? Do we need to send help?
I'm in bed, but I've been up. I've had a shower, but I just can't venture too far away at the moment. Just got to see what I've done to myself over the last couple of days and just reap the consequences of it all.
Yeah, well, you're not a man who likes to face consequences. Let me just tell our listeners that the time currently is 12:15 in New Zealand on a Tuesday and Banksy's in bed. Gee, I'm going to miss you, Marty. I mean, I don't like you and you don't like me,
but that's not the point.
I'm going to miss you, mate.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go try and go to Italy and see if someone will write a book about me over there because you wouldn't do one here, so I won't understand it in Italy, but I'm sure they'll say something nice about me.
Mate, how long do we go back now? Was it the Buller season? Was that 2010? 2010 when you won the first title with Buller?
No, it was actually 2012, so my...
Jeez, I've put a couple of extra years on you there, Banksy. 2010, you would have been in Russia.
Yeah, just going to Russia, yeah. No, it was 2012 when you came down and ate the crayfish and then just disappeared, yep.
I've got to tell a story about that day. This was Marty Banks playing for Buller against South Canterbury, final of the Lahore Cup. Our first ever title for Buller, one of the smallest of New Zealand's 26 provinces. Marty Banks, back from Russia, playing first five for his home union where he was born and raised in Reefton. The game was in Westport, and we're commentating on a scaffold. At Victoria, was it Victoria Square, Banksy?
Victoria Square, mate. Great park.
Yeah, Victoria Square in Westport. They put up a scaffold tower And it's literally 20 minutes into the game when Roo Duncan, the local rugby development officer, has climbed the ladder and chucked a chili bin on the floor of the scaffold tower commentary box. He says, "There's your crayfish." Disappears again, comes up 5 minutes later with another chili bin. He says, "Here's your white bait. Enjoy the rest of the game." Hell of a man, Banksy. Why couldn't you be more like him?
Yeah, well, it took me, taking me 6 years, 5.5 years to get a crayfish out of Roo. Actually got one the other week. So I don't know how you managed to get one day one, but I don't know. You must obviously have a bit more pull than I do around Westport.
You've pulled more out of Westport than I ever will. I can assure you of that, Banksy. Now, mates, let's talk about your career, because it's not very often we get to have what we like to call an exit interview with a guy who's made a big name for himself in footy here, provincial footy and Super Rugby. After Buller, you got that job offer to go to Tasman, and again, it was a great season for you there. You became a bit of a cult hero, title king. What was the secret to your play and why you were able to fit into those teams as you progressed through the ranks?
When I moved to Tasman, I didn't actually get picked. I think I get called in after the third game, I think it was, and we played Counties Manukau. But I think the trick to that year was I was only in week by week, so if I started playing bad, I was kicked out. So I had to give AK no option but to pick me each week. And I was just lucky to be part of a team that was scoring a lot of points and playing some good footy, and I managed to just come in and just fit into my piece of the puzzle, and thought I was a fullback at that stage, and then turned into a 10, obviously, but probably didn't really start believing I was a 10 until a year after that. It's just a bit of confidence from that season, and I've been playing alongside quality players, and I guess that makes my job pretty easy, a bit of luck. I don't think about it too much, so just... not
trying
to make an ass of myself most of the time.
You went from the Hawke Cup to the Championship with Tasman, the final of the Premiership with Tasman. You got your chance at Super Rugby, but that first year in Super Rugby, Banksy, with the Hurricanes, not all it was cracked up to be for you personally.
No, I've said to a few people, I'm pretty honest about it. It probably happened a bit too quick for me. I think I went from... I played a game for Reefton, which is a club team, Buller. The year I played for the Marcos, which was the same year I made the Hurricanes. So I went from playing club rugby in Reefton on a boggy, muddy field to debuting for the Hurricanes in South Africa in about 6 or 7 months. So it all just happened a bit quick, and I think I got there and I didn't really understand what sort of player I was at the time. And I learned the hard way. I went down and played the Highlanders. I think it was around 5 or around 6. And I experienced Nuggies, box kicks, from the opposite side of the field, and I think I dropped 10 probably, and the one I caught Patrick Osborne just smashed me, so I never played another game for the Hurricanes after that, but then for some reason the Highlanders were silly enough to sign me. I must have showed something that I wasn't too sure of, but I don't think I performed that well in that game, so I don't know what they saw in me, but nice. Maybe they just felt sorry for me for ruining my career.
Hey, Marty, you've delayed your departure out of, the southern town to go over to, a year. I mean, most of us only delayed a few months, but you've delayed it a year. You've obviously loved your time, down in Dunedin, and we often talk about the culture and things like that. You fit it in nicely. You know, even to the outsider, you suspect that you're actually from down there, the way you've gelled with those guys. But are you actually looking forward to going over to Treviso? There's a couple of, familiar faces over there, and obviously Colt's the coach. But are you looking forward to swapping your spates for a Prosecco?
I've tried that drink. I'm not a big fan of that drink, but I'll be a fan of the pasta and the pizza. But I don't know. It's I guess last year when I signed the contract, I thought it was time for me to go. And I guess once I signed the contract, and then a few things happened with the family and stuff, and I sort of had second guesses, I guess. And I talked to the club over there, and they were prepared to let me play one more year of Super Rugby. And I guess now, a couple of months I wasn't a part of the Highlanders over pre-season and that, I sort of followed them on Instagram and followed them through Facebook and that, watching what they're up to over pre-season. And personally, I hate pre-season. I'm a terrible trainer. I'm not good in the gym or anything like that, but and I hate pre-season when it's happening, but It wasn't until I wasn't a part of it that you sort of realise it's probably the best time of year. There's no performance analysis. It's all just hard work for the boys, and you sort of get to know everyone that sort of comes into the team, and that you enjoy your time. You have some beers, and it turns out to be the best time of year because it's when you got the least pressure on you, except for trying to impress the coaches. But and then obviously that builds a lot of team morale and just unity and that through that sort of stuff. And then obviously that leads into the season, and down here we've got a bloody top-notch crew, and I guess that's why the boys are probably battling today, because no one really wants to get anyone down when it comes to drinking a space, so we tend to try and go as long as we can. It's going to be tough leaving, that's for sure.
Marty, I've spoken to Craig Scanlon, your former coach at Buller, said you've got shit chat. I spoke to Leon McDonald and Kieran Kane at Tasman, shit chat. Tony Brown at the Highlanders, you've got shit chat. Have you managed to improve your banter at all as you progressed from Heartland Rugby through to Super Rugby?
No, probably not. I don't think so. Well, I don't know, mate. I end up just coming out with the same sort of comments, and I don't know. I need some new material, but I don't know. I just have to the Fijians, and it seems to work.
that's brave on your part, mate. What I meant to say, though, is that you become a cult figure within every club you're at. Because you're a great fall guy and you take a lot, and guys know they can rip the piss out of you, and you've got nothing to shoot back at them. Did you find that you had to take that role quite seriously, being the fall guy on every team?
I don't know how it happens. I actually come to every team and have the mindset of I'm not going to be the class clown at this team. So every time I go somewhere new, I go with the mindset I'm just going to sit in the background and not make an ass of myself. So I'm pretty sure day one, Joe Wheeler hits me with pretty much everything he can, and then I become the fall guy straight off the bat. So I had no hope there, but I'm just hoping when I go to Italy, obviously, your language barrier, I won't actually know what they're saying to me. So I'll just sit there, and I'll still probably be the fall guy, but I just won't know what they're saying, so it won't hurt, isn't it?
Banksy, it's always great to chat to you. We wish you all the very best. Before you go, can you just admit that I made you?
Yeah, you've said that quite a few times. Actually, I still remember watching the replay, because the County's Manukau game, when you first gave me that nickname, Screech. It's really, really, really stuck with me for quite a few years now, and it actually breaks my heart every time someone calls me it, because I know exactly where it came from. And it was rough. It was a rough day up there too. Like, those big County boys are picking on me already, and then I've listened to the replay and I've got you picking on me on TV. I just couldn't escape it. You probably did contribute a lot to my career there, Suma.
Oh, that's a great admission from you, Banksy. That is the first time in 5 years you've ever said something nice about me. I'm leaving you now. In fact, I'm hanging up on you. Goodbye. Enjoy Italy, Marty. I take the mickey. I love what he's achieved in our game. And I think our game needs guys like that, because, you know, we're not talking about a guy who's been a superstar of the game on the outside. It's not about his stats and his numbers. It's about the fact that he gets his points. Mm. He's a massive contributor to the team culture. And every time he's been called on to do something special, Super Rugby final, why don't I just slam a drop goal to win it?
Yeah.
I remember scoring a 90-metre try against Northland one day. I mean, they're freakish things on a footy field that no one expected. And every time you thought, oh, it's just Banksy, you know, with a fluky game, a fluky move, he did it again, and then he did it again, and then he did it again. You know, he's very self-deprecating. The reason the Highlanders picked him is because he is clutch.
Yeah.
Proved over a very long period of time. Those guys and teams, to me, are the heart and soul of teams.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, you need those sort of guys around. I mean, he could have easily have gone, you know, years ago, but he sticks around. You talk about guys, you know, he was a person that just scores his goals. Mate, he went, 20, 30-odd without missing?
100% over three seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's not someone, I mean, you name any of the top All Blacks that's ever sort of done that. I don't think anyone has. So those are the sort of guys that New Zealand rugby sort of owe a lot to, you know. Could easily have gone over and with the drive of the money, but, you know, chose to stick around and creates a big culture. You know, having him and they're having someone like that, you know, he talks about being the fullback, fall guy, but, you know, when the serious stuff happens, I'd suspect the Highlanders would actually look at him for inspiration. You know? And so those are the sort of guys you need in a country like ours, where it's, you know, predominantly about, you know, culture and tradition and history. And so, yeah, take my hat off to him, mate. He's an absolutely outstanding guy.
Do you know what else he is? Is a symbol to every player that you don't have to be on the conveyor belt from 14 years of age.
Yeah.
That it's not about being in first 15 and then your representative provincial junior team and then into your stipended contract with your province and onward in that traditional pathway. And here's a guy who was turned down by North Harbour, went to play professional rugby in Russia with Krasnoyarsk, Boogie Horton, who's still up there as well. A couple of boys have been up there to play with Krasnoyarsk. Then he came back, picked up in his own home province, Buller. Yeah. I mean, the smallest province in the country. And that season, they win the first ever title they've ever won, the Lahore Cup. Then he's with Tasman, as he said, not invited early, but then three games in, he's in that team. Mm. Then he's picked up from by the Hurricanes. Then he's dropped. You know, and everyone's thinking, oh, well, that's that. He's reached his ceiling. You know, all of a sudden, a year later, he's a Super Rugby champion against the very team that shelved him.
Yeah.
And he's gone on to do that time and time again. And I think it's a great lesson for any player to say, you know, forget about it. Forget about being in your age group team. If you want it and you go and look for opportunities, opportunities will be there.
Yeah.
And I think more players should go back to Heartland.
Yeah.
If they can't get a break in there in the big provinces and the top flight Mitre 10 Cups, go and ask.
Yep.
If you're from a country area and you've moved to the city, go back and play there. It's a great learning curve for players to be playing that level of footy.
Oh, absolutely, sir, mate. And you're seeing that quite often these days, that a lot of our young players, you know, they might start off at club rugby. They don't quite make the A team, then they're in the B team. They don't want that. They want the reward straight away. Now, here's a guy that we're, you know, just talking about. He, you know, he's determined. You know, he's relentless. You know, he goes over. He knows what it's like to actually not make a team, but then the drive to keep going and to become an absolute, you know, Super Rugby superstar. That's the sort of stuff we're talking about. These are the sort of guys that New Zealand Rugby, you know, need around. You know,
Agreed.
It's not just about, you know, sitting there and being the fullback guy and just the off field stuff. You know, you know what he's overcome to be where he is now, and so. You know, he's a big lesson for future rugby players, because it's not all about going through the grades. You know, there's a lot of Ali Williams didn't go through the grades, but you know, I'm
Corey
thinking,
Jane's another.
Yeah, you know, so if your heart's there and you're determined to do it, you know, no matter what sort of setback you have, you can make it. And he is a prime example of that.
Yeah, his heart and soul is a champ. Marty Banks on the Short Ball Rugby podcast. Mills Mulliana and Scotty Stevenson with you as we move on, Millsy, to the semi-finals. First up, the Crusaders taking on the Chiefs. Yes, we know conditions were terrible last week, but take nothing away from that Crusaders performance. In fact, I think add on the praise, because wet weather rugby, finals rugby, who shuts out the Highlanders? It's a donut for the Landers against the Crusaders. That is tough. They're taking on the Chiefs. The Crusaders have never lost a playoff game at home. They are 17-0 at home. And although the Chiefs have won six of the last eight games between these two teams, man, it's an ask to come back from Cape Town and do it down there.
Yeah, is it white? And I think that might be it's a very big hurdle to try and overcome. You know, if the conditions are similar to what they were last weekend in Christchurch, you know, the Crusaders
forward, right?
Well, the Crusaders forward pack, they're just going to roll up their sleeves and they're just going to love it, you know? So, you know, obviously my allegiance is to the Chiefs, but, you know, seeing the way that the Crusaders closed out that game, and we spoke about this last week, I actually thought the Highlanders were going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
So
I didn't want to remind you of that.
No, I know you didn't, but I'm bringing it up, okay? So congratulations to the Crusaders. Unfortunately, I can't pick them this week because of my loyalty to my mighty Chiefs.
And this is what I love about the Chiefs-Crusaders. More than the forward battle, which we know is going to be pretty intense. By the way, yes, the Crusaders forwards were good, but how good was the Crusaders backfield?
Yeah,
we talked about David Harvilli last week, putting him back at fullback. They're a different team.
Yeah.
They were a different team. Yeah, they covered every kick option the Highlanders put at them.
Goodhue was fantastic.
Oh, massive.
Defensively, honestly. And even Harvilli, you know, he put a shot on, I think it was Fikitoa late in the game. I mean, and so they just look a lot more settled with Harvilli back there. And, you know, is he sort of, you know, looking after one side?
Yeah, doing his thing on the right wing side,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And it just takes a little bit more pressure off him. Yeah. So. No, they were great last week.
I meant to bring up, the Chiefs hate the Crusaders. Yeah. I mean, admit it. Yes, of all the teams the Chiefs play, they reserve a special level of hatred somewhere in the 12th level of their own personal hell for the Crusaders.
It's fair to say that.
That's right.
It's fair to say that.
Where has that come from? What is the big beef with the Crusaders?
I don't know where it actually... I think once the Chiefs actually started dominating the Blues in that first sort of like a few years ago, then they sort of had to find something else.
Oh, you gave up on the Blues?
That's the worst.
As if their season wasn't bad enough. An open admission that the Chiefs didn't value the rivalry anymore. Wow.
No. Hey, that was just my own theory. I'm just starting to come up with. But no, I don't know where it sort of stemmed from, to be totally honest, Sumo. I think it was just, you know, when the Crusaders were so dominant, everyone was sort of after them. You know, it was, you know, to beat the Crusaders was massive. And so I suppose it sort of stemmed from that, and it's just gotten worse and worse.
It's nasty, though. I remember watching semi-finals and quarter-finals and games against the Crusaders, Kahui especially. Your old mate Richard Kahui. I mean, literally, he couldn't even look them in the eye.
No.
He hated the Crusaders.
No, and that, I mean, that adds a little bit, you know, when you're coming back from South Africa knowing, you know, that you actually hate the Crusaders and you want to beat them, that's going to give you extra motivation. But, you know, when you go down there and play at AMI and you've got such a big forward pack, it's going to be a tough ask for the Chiefs.
Yeah, massive. Look, they played Mitch Brown again in the locking spot against the Stormers, got away with it for the second straight week. Yeah. I don't know if they can do that against the Crusaders. The way Kieran Reid operated at line-out time, Sam Whitelock seems to have, I think, just suddenly become reinvigorated after having a very slow patch around just before the All Blacks and through that All Blacks season. He looks like he's back and ready to motor.
Yeah. And so that the battle, I mean, it depends who does Bird start, you know?
If
he's fit enough, you know, put him in there. He knows, you know, what the Crusaders are like. He'll go to battle and he'll want to actually bring some physicality, you know, especially against the likes of Whitelock. I've enjoyed the way Sam's played this year, you know?
Yeah.
The way he's gone about his business, he's led from the front and he's actually brought some, you know, some smarts along with physicality, which has been fantastic.
You're on the Short Ball, a rugby podcast. Mills Milliani, Scotty Stevenson, covering off the second of the semi-finals this week in Super Rugby. Millsy, the Lions and the Hurricanes, first meeting between these two teams this year, first time the Lions have had to play a Kiwi side. All the talk has been about the fact the Lions don't deserve to be where they are as minor premiers because they haven't played a New Zealand side. I'm going to flip that on his head. Just quickly, does a New Zealand team deserve to be number one if they haven't played the Lions?
Oh, it's a good way to put it, actually. I think the Lions deserve to be there. I absolutely think they deserve to be there. And then the way they've been playing, I think, you know, yes, they haven't played any New Zealand teams, but what's that saying? They've dominated every other team.
Exactly right.
And in the weekend, they showed some grit and determination to come back because they've probably possibly could have lost that game. They should have lost that game in those dying minutes, but they came back. They were a little bit sort of, I think they're going to be a lot better this week. They were a little bit fancy in that first half and sort of wanted to try a few things and didn't quite go to plan. But I'm thinking this week they're going to be, you know, they've got a big forward pack. You know, they get back down to that sort of stuff. And their looces, I mean, I've been really impressed with some of their looces getting in the middle of the park and being able to, you know, throw the ball around a bit. So it's going to be... Oh man, I'm looking for this is probably the game I'm actually looking forward to the most.
I do not disagree with you. I look at guys like Andreas Kutsia, Ruan Combrink, clutch 54 metres out, penalty to win the game against the Sharks. No sweat. Yeah, I mean, why are we not talking about that more this week? I mean, that's the play of the finals for sure. Lionel Mapu at centre, Courtney Skosan. Elton Yunkies was questioned this game, but we've spoken about him before. He has been very good at managing their game plan all season long. Look, to me, it's going to come down to this. The Hurricanes bludgeoned their way to victory against the Brumbies.
Yep.
They had a Ferrari back line and they took out the tractors. I think they have to take out the Ferraris this week to beat the Lions.
Yep.
They are not going to beat them at line out drive. They are not going to beat them at rolling mauls. They are probably not going to beat them at scrum time, although they can get parity.
Mm.
So surely you take the Lions wide. You spread them.
Yeah, I'd. But in order to be able to spread them, you've got to actually match them up front. And we asked this question when the Hurricanes played the Crusaders, and they actually did front up. Yes, there were a few personnel missing from the Crusaders pack, but...
Yeah, but they lost.
Who?
Oh, you mean the last game?
The last game. Yeah.
Sure.
And so I think, you know, if they can do that and get it wide, Usul's going to be, you know, where do they put Usul? You know, do they put Slotin back at centre? And, you know, so the makeup of their back three will be very interesting, but they're all starting to fire. But to try and, they've got to try and nullify their big, big pack.
Do you know, you're dealing with four players who are four of the best attackers in the game. The three, four backline players I mentioned, Mapu, Combrink, Skorsan, and Kutsia. Jordy Barrett at centre is going to be a liability for you at some stage.
Yeah.
He tackles at 62% this year. He's made 31, he's missed 24. Granted, most of those were at fullback, which is a tough position to defend, and as you well know, Millsy.
Yeah.
But sooner or later, not being able to have Bowden Barrett in your defensive line and having Jordy Barrett in your defensive line is going to cost if a team takes you down those channels.
And they are, and I think, and they can. You know, the way they attack, they do actually like target those sort of areas. And so if you're, those are the percentages he's showing up, you need someone there that's just going to, you know, knock people back. And, you know, usually you find sometimes in a team there might be one guy you have to look after on attack. These guys have got three or four. Mm. And so, you know, it's, that would be a massive workload for someone like Barrett, you know, and especially given the way they actually try and push, you know, his brother back as well. And so now all of a sudden you've only got, you know, one defender.
I think the Hurricanes, a lot like the Crusaders, are going to be better if Jordy Barrett gets to play fullback this weekend.
Yeah.
Just as when David Harvilly returned for the Crusaders, they looked like the Crusaders.
Yeah.
When Jordy Barrett moves back to fullback, that team is going to look like the Hurricanes again. Mm. If that's the case, I give it to the Canes. If they have to be makeshift again and Vince Arcel doesn't quite recover in time, I think they're going to have problems against the Lions. I think it all comes down to where they play their best players.
Yeah, and that's going to be a key. I mean, Boydie's a very smart man, and I suppose he would have had that conversation long after, you know, shortly after the Brumbies sort of victory, knowing that Arcel was going to be there or thereabouts. But I think the Hurricanes would have seen enough the way that the Sharks defended and put the Lions under pressure for majority of that game, you know, even the way that the Sharks kicked and put pressure on. And so if they can do that, then I would give it to, you know, I would give it to the Hurricanes. And with the way that Young Junji's played last weekend, though, that's probably his worst game of the season. So, you know, it'd be interesting how he comes back from this, because if he comes back firing, it could be a totally different story. And that's probably the biggest worry for the Hurricanes.
There it is. Millsy, I take it then you're going for Chiefs and Canes?
Yes.
Chiefs and Canes for Millsy. I, on the other hand, are going Crusaders Lions.
Beautiful.
You shout lunch next week if I win.
Okay.
And
just a boiled egg.
If you win, good on you.
Hey.
No, I don't have a professional rugby career to fall back on. Like
hey,
that.
I don't have a professional rugby contract ever.
Oh, that's true. No, you're done.
Student loan, mate. I'm sure I can get something out of study loan.
Student loan?
Yeah. Mate.
Millsy, we need to talk about that. That's been the Short Pool, a Rugby Pod podcast here in Auckland City. Enjoy the semi-finals of Super Rugby and make sure you catch all the action live on rugbypass.com.